world. Welcome to Discover Your Talent, Do What You Love, number 232. I'm creator and host Don Hutchison. Every day I interview someone from around the world who has discovered his talents to do work he loves, to create a life of success, satisfaction, and freedom. Andrew Locke's weekly web TV show, Help My Business, has been described as the daily show for entrepreneurs, which gives viewers a hint of what to expect. Dry British humor, playful sarcasm, and irreverence with a soft and chewy center of entertainment and brilliant marketing insights. Welcome to the show, Andrew.
Thanks, Don. Great to be here.
Thank you, sir. Are you using your talents doing work that you love?
I absolutely love what I do.
Oh, I love that passion in your voice. We want to hear the whole story. Andrew Locke is the presenter of Help My Business, which has been described as the daily show for entrepreneurs. Andrew's nickname is the Yoda of marketing, not because he's short with green pointy ears, but because of his encyclopedic knowledge of marketing. His show provides a proliferation of practical marketing tips, big business lessons from well-known brands, and lots of little-known online resources that small business owners can use to increase their profits fast. It's become more popular than a supermodel at a Catholic... It's become more popular than a supermodel at a Catholic boys boarding school. Okay, I love that bio, Andrew. Tell us what you're up to now that has you engaged and fired up, if you will.
Sure, yeah. I mean, the show is really the core of what I do and been doing it for 7 years now, and it is more fun than ever. You know, we'll talk about my background in a minute, I guess, but
sure.
Basically the show is one of the few business content shows that is entertaining in as much as it has a very sort of my dry British humor.
Yes.
And, you know, you described it there like the Daily Show. So it's very much a fun place to learn about business. And, you know, that's who I am. In everything I do, I want to have fun. I want it to be enjoyable. I want to laugh. I want to smile. And I'm trying to convey that same kind of idea to the viewers. So, you know,
sure,
of course, it has to be practical. It has to be relevant, has to be useful, which I believe it is. But it's also very fun to learn. So I'm having the time of my life producing that show. I've got a few writers that help me with it now, and it's going from strength to strength. So, yeah, it's a lot of fun. Helpmybusiness.com.
Yes, beautiful. Share with listeners the format now. Give us the modalities. It's a TV show. It's a radio show.
It's online. You can find it on iTunes or at helpmybusiness.com. And it's a weekly show.
Okay.
It's a new episode every Thursday. And each episode is about 20 minutes. And in that 20 minute, I have a little kind of intro segment that's, I guess, like my monologue, the rant about something, some kind of marketing or business lesson, some of the absurd things that I see on my travels that you can learn from. And I also have a questions from viewers segment called Ask Andrew, where people can ask anything they want. There's a segment called Nifty Clicks, which is all about useful online resources.
I love that.
Useful websites and tools. And
Nifty Clicks. That's clever.
Yeah, the Nifty Clicks. They love that. And then I usually end the episode with a segment called Big Lessons from Big Brands, which is where I adapt something really clever and smart that a big business has done, someone like a Disney or a McDonald's or, you know, big well-known corporation, and I adapt it to how a small business can use that same innovation or marketing lesson.
Yes.
And so that's the typical format. Occasionally I'll have guests, but that's kind of more the exception rather than the rule.
Yes. All righty. Well, as you know, well, everyone's life journey is composed of a series of turning points, some call them passages. And at these important times, we're each faced with obstacles and opportunities and choices that determine the next handful of years of our lives, and they comprise our entire life story. So take us back, if you would, please, Andrew, into your life story as far back as you will, and tell us about influences and opportunities that have made Andrew Locke who he is today.
Okay, I'm going to jump on the therapist's couch here.
Yeah, it's okay. It's okay. Only share what you want to.
Everybody has a story, don't they? Everybody
has a
journey. And I was definitely an entrepreneur even from when I was at school. I remember being called into the headmaster, or I guess you'd say principal, the headmaster's office, and my heart sank. I was thinking, what have I done? You know, and so he told me to sit down on the chair, and then he said to me, I've called you in here today because, you know, I was like trembling at this point. He
sure.
said, because you're being awarded the prize for the top student in your school year for business studies.
Wow.
So I couldn't believe it. But, you know, that event was quite significant because it was really reinforcement to what was going on internally, which was I was very much entrepreneurially minded.
How old were you at this time? What grade were you in?
I don't know. We don't have grades. So I guess I can tell you how old I was.
Sure.
I've never understood the American grade system.
Okay, that's right.
But I was at this point, I was 15 years old.
All right.
So what would that be?
Well, you'd be a 15, 16, 17. You'd be a freshman or a sophomore in our
okay.
system.
Different. I see all those terms. I don't understand that.
Okay.
But anyway, I mean, I've heard of those words.
Right.
I just don't know how they equate. Anyway, so about 15 years old. And
what had you done? What had you done to demonstrate that?
I don't really know. I mean, I think it was just partly passion.
Yes.
Very, you know, a lot of enthusiasm for the class. I absolutely loved that class. It was very much up my street. I, you know, paid rapt attention to the teacher, learning everything that I could, unlike many other subjects. It just naturally resonated with me.
Yeah.
We did some school projects, you know, and I was kind of the leader of those projects within the class. So I guess that was part of it. And that was unusual for me, really, because I am an introvert and, you know, it was definitely stepping outside of my comfort zone, but it really stemmed from a natural passion. You know, I just loved anything to do with business.
Did you get that at home?
Not really. I mean, my dad at that point was employed and had been employed for many years. Subsequently, he ended up starting his own business. But yeah, you know, I think if anything, probably my mum was a little more that way inclined. But, you know, I certainly didn't have that within the family. So I'm not sure where it came from, but just, you know, it was definitely in there.
Yeah, exactly. Well, what was the next step that you took? Did you go on to university or what'd you do?
No. My passion for business was such, I just couldn't wait to get going. And so as soon as I left school, which is 16 years old in England,
okay.
I didn't go to college or university. I felt that I could learn what I needed to learn on my own. Mm-hmm. And that's exactly what I did. So I did continue my learning. I spent many hours at the library. I mean, this was pre-internet, so we had these things called books. And
amazing.
I lapped up the information. I watched videos and documentaries and just, you know, really immersed myself in learning about business and entrepreneurialism. I didn't have a clear path as to what I wanted to do. But my biggest passion at this point was for video production.
Yeah.
And that's what I started to pursue. And so I started my own video production business, doing weddings and documentaries and, you know, corporate videos and things like that.
Did that take a while to get the technical expertise to pull it together so you could offer your services?
It did. I already had that interest. So I was doing it even when I was at school.
Okay.
But yeah, I established a nice little business and that went sort of from strength to strength. And that took me to eventually over, you know, some years, I'm working on projects for the BBC as a freelance cameraman and other independent production companies. So that was a blast. I mean, it was great. And, you know, I really enjoyed it and I still enjoy the technical aspect of that. But I also realized at the same time, I wanted to, you know, really sort of expand my entrepreneurial skills. And I'd reached a bit of a plateau, I felt, with that. So it was very enjoyable, but it was like, you know, okay, what's next, you know? So
sure.
Through a weird set of circumstances, I worked on some projects with someone who I had grown up watching as a kid on TV. And this guy is not very well known in the States, but his name's Paul Daniels. And he was the Johnny Carson of England. So
okay.
He had the primetime evening show. And like I said, I'd grown up watching him. He was a household name in England and Europe. And through this weird set of circumstances, I worked with him on some projects. And after working with him for a couple of years on a number of different projects, his longtime manager passed away quite suddenly. And he asked me completely out of the blue, would I like to be his personal manager?
Good heavens.
It was such, you know, it was one of those most surreal moments of your life, because just imagine that, watching this guy from when you were like 5 years old, as early as I could remember. He was on TV for 15, 20 years. And it was a magical moment. So I was thrown in the deep end. But this is what really forced my transition from the world of sort of being behind the scenes in doing video production to being behind the scenes in more of the business of effectively managing a celebrity, which meant finding ways to get more bookings for him, to promote him, to, you know, facilitate everything that he wanted to do. So it was definitely being thrown in the deep end, but he obviously felt that I had the chops to do it. Mm-hmm. And it was a blast. It was a wild ride. I learned a lot from him. He was definitely a marketing genius himself, which is part of the reason he did become famous in the first place. Mm-hmm. And it was a phenomenal journey. And when he retired, that was sort of a crossroads for me. And I'd done a lot of work in the States at that point. One of the things that he wanted to do was to do some more fun gigs in the States, for example, in Vegas and places like that. And so that's what initiated my move to the States, to California in 2003.
Okay, now when he retired, how long had you been working as his personal manager when he retired?
About 4 years.
Okay.
And from there, this was sort of around the time where online video was starting to really take shape, and I could see that it was the next wave of the way that media would be distributed, not as a trend or a fad, but just the next logical development. If you think about TV over the years, we had over the air, you know, from an antenna. Then there was a transition with cable and satellite. And then with the internet, that was the next way that media would be distributed. And I could see that was happening. And so I sort of dabbled in it for a little while, experimented, did a few different things and worked on projects for other people. And then finally, things solidified for me in 2007 when I started the show, which was originally called Help My Business Sucks. And it was one of the earliest business shows that was distributed on iTunes. And I took it to number one in the charts. Wow. Within about 6 months. And just, you know, continued to develop that and hone it over the years and changed the name last year to Help My Business, which is a better fit for the type of audience that I want to attract.
Yes.
So that's the condensed journey, if you like.
Oh, it's a beautiful story. Well told. I appreciate that very much. We'll come back to different parts of it in a minute. As you know from looking at our information, the studies have been going on for several decades by Gallup and others that gauge worker satisfaction at all levels of professions and industries. Yeah. And it's pretty bleak. The majority of people are not in what I call their sweet spot, and they're not following their talents, or they may be making a decent living, but there's still parts of them that are unfulfilled. And that's just part of life, okay? But there's another part that says that too many people are just letting too much of it pass them by when they could be doing something more in sync with what they want. What do you think that's about?
That's a good question. I think that a lot of people just resign themselves to their present circumstances. And, you know, I don't know why that is. I think part of it is the way that we were, you know, our background, our childhood. I think all those things play a role. You know, I have friends who were adopted and in very bad family situations who have become extremely successful in business. So I think sometimes bad circumstances can lead someone to be, you know, to really sort of challenge themselves to go completely in the opposite direction, which I think is great. You know, I love those stories, but it also can be used as an excuse. I can't do this because of my background. Mm-hmm. So I've often thought about this, actually. I don't know what the missing link is between, you know, how people translate these things in their minds to go in these different directions, because, you know, some people just feel like their past dictates their future, whereas other people feel like they can. You know, there's a great quote, actually, that I love to share when I teach, which is, you cannot, let me get this right, and I'm probably not going to get it exactly right,
that's
according
right.
to who wrote it, but
that's
the
right.
essence of it is that you can't move on to the next chapter of your life if you keep rereading the last one.
Yes, exactly.
I love it, because so, that's what a lot of people do, is it's the woe is me mentality, and because of my past, I can't change. Mm-hmm. But of course you can. We know that. We see evidence of it. You know, a lot of people don't like where they live, but there's no roadblock, you know, there's no literally roadblock that causes them not to be able to exit their area and move to a different town or city. And the same thing applies in business. It does take courage. It takes an enormous amount of courage and boldness, but it is possible. And there are the whole situation and rain goes the whole gamut, doesn't it? You know, we
yes.
see
yes.
individuals who feel stuck forever in their circumstances. And we also see people who have achieved massive success against all odds. So I'm actually fascinated by what the difference is. I don't know what it is.
I think you're articulating it very well, actually. In our experience of just with a couple hundred people, but actually studying this problem for 38 years, you're really right at it. They resign themselves to circumstances. The big killer is fear. Mm. Of course, fear is real.
I can take you out, yeah.
Oh, man. Yeah, of course it can. But here you are. I mean, look at your story right here. I take copious notes, and I'm looking at you from 16 and then moving into video production and doing weddings and meeting Paul Daniels. And I'm sure there were myriad times in that journey when you thought to yourself, my gosh, what am I thinking about? I mean, how can I be Paul Daniels' personal manager or whatever it was? I mean,
you know, absolutely.
You know?
And I should say, too, that there has been significant setbacks along the way. I mean, one of the most significant happened about 6 years ago where I embarked on a big project, the biggest project I've ever done, which was to develop a web TV network. And I started with a business partner who had to drop out after about 6 months due to very poor health. And I teamed up with another business partner who really I hadn't done my due diligence on. And after the deal was done, he didn't deliver what he said he was going to do. So I broke off the relationship, which caused him to basically blow up. And long and the short of it was he sued me.
Mm-hmm.
And it was a protracted legal battle of 5 years. Very, very costly, both financially and emotionally. And very, very hard. It really was a big knock for me. There were times when I felt like giving up. There were times when I thought, what is the point? Why am I doing this? You know, quite depressing, actually.
Yes.
But, you know, when you're in that type of situation, again, you have a choice. You can either view that situation as a stumbling block to trip you up and to say, you know, and basically fall on the ground and not get up.
Mm-hmm.
Or you can view it as that roadblock as a stepping stone to step over it onto the other side. And I did choose the other. Now, one thing I always tell people is that when you're in that type of situation, it's okay to get mad. It's okay to be frustrated. It's okay to be down.
Yes.
The critical thing, because that's natural. I mean,
that's,
you wouldn't be human if you didn't feel that way. But the critical thing is you have to draw a line in the sand and realize that, okay, what's happened has happened. It sucks. Cannot change the past. But at this point in time, I'm going to let it go and move on. And that's the part that some people aren't able to do. You know, that can stay with you for the rest of your life. Like,
yes.
You know, look at what happened to me. Isn't it terrible? But that doesn't help anybody. So it's okay to wallow for a little bit, but then you have to move on and put it behind you.
Well, that's the fine interview. That's just the most illuminating part, you sharing that story. Thank you for being so transparent, because I have my career has had great moments, but I've had some situations like that too. And I know that everything you're saying is true. Something inside of you, you know, it's easy to call it courage or guts or grit, but there's just something inside human beings that allows them to either roll over and play dead and say, oh, well, I'll resign myself to this, or to do what you've done and what I've done in my past is to say, okay, like you said, this sucks. You know, I'm angry as hell. I'm depressed. I didn't expect it to go this way, but guess what? It did. I'm here. So am I going to roll over and play dead, or am I going to man up,
yeah,
as they say, and see what happens next? Because I have enough faith in myself, enough confidence that I'll bet on me, right?
That's it.
I'll bet on me.
Yeah.
I'll bet on myself.
Absolutely. And I think as anyone that's been in business any length of time will have situations like that. You know, I like to think I'm a reasonable person. And mm-hmm. So when things went south in the relationship, I assumed that we would be able to have a fair and reasonable exit and, you know, move on with our lives. Okay, it didn't work out. It was
right.
Frustrating.
Right.
But not everybody thinks the same way that we do.
No.
And, you know, so it was definitely, you know, I learned I need to be very cautious with who I partner with, due diligence, do background research. And also, actually, one quick thing I'll share with you, which absolutely, this will, I'm sure, help a lot of people listening. I got this from Seth Godin, listening on a podcast that he had put out. And it was in this situation, basically, of what do you do in a partnership where things go wrong? And I've implemented this since. What he suggested, and hopefully I'll be able to explain it simply enough, is have an agreement where you specify if things go wrong to the point where you can't resolve it between you, each party agrees to find a lawyer. Each of those lawyers will choose independently a third lawyer between those. So those two lawyers get together and they pick a third lawyer. The two parties involved, you and the other person, submit documents explaining what happened to that third lawyer. And it's that third lawyer who spends no more than 3 hours looking through those documents, and they are the ones that come to a decision. And so it's a beautiful thing, because if you think about it,
it's brilliant.
No party can outspend each other
right. In
this structure. And plus, the third lawyer is truly independent. He's not acting on behalf of either party.
Right.
And so it's a very quick and efficient way of handling that type of situation.
No, I think it's wonderful, because when people get into those situations that are that tense, our primal natures come out and people get very vindictive.
Oh, it's awful.
And Lawyers love to, there are plenty of good lawyers.
They're the only ones that win.
Right, exactly. They love to fight. They love for those things to go on forever. And I think that's a wonderful idea. Well, let me ask you this. What have been the most palpable, tangible results or outcomes or benefits to you chiseling out life on your terms? What would you say to listeners? What have you gotten?
Yeah, that's a great question. I've never been motivated by a particular monetary figure. I know some people are. And ultimately, success, I do realize that success means different things to different people. Success to me, or for me, means freedom of lifestyle to do what I want to do. I do work hard, but I also like to enjoy the results. I like to enjoy the journey. For me, it's not about I'll be happy when I achieve this particular result or goal, even though I have goals. I want to enjoy the journey. I want to enjoy everything that I do, including the benefits of, you know, the rewards of what I do. In other words, you know, okay, it's not just about making money. If I make money, what do I do with that money? So, exactly. You know, I like to enjoy nice vacations and travel a lot. Last year, I traveled probably more than 3 months of that year. That's one of the things that I love to do. So I'm very much what I call a lifestyle entrepreneur. Mm-hmm. So, you know, I dread the idea of having a big company with hundreds of employees. That's not my idea of fun at all. Yes. I want to be a lean operation. I want to enjoy the journey, and I want to reap and enjoy the rewards as I go along that journey.
Yes, yes. Well said. Well, you've shared with listeners, and thank you, many insights about your journey. How would you boil down in just a minute, what are the most powerful lessons you've learned that you could summarize for our listeners about building your life, about building a life on your terms?
So many. Definitely one is persistence. I do see a lot of, in coaching entrepreneurs and small business owners, I see a lot of people give up too soon. You know, there seems to be a general lack of persistence sometimes. So that's definitely one big lesson. Another one is, it's never about the idea or the product or the service. It's always about the marketing. Mm-hmm. We've seen many examples of that over the years, even with the biggest corporations. I mean, one of the classics was the VHS versus Betamax, and we saw that play out again with HD DVD versus Blu-ray. The one with the best marketing won both times.
Mm-hmm.
So it's never about the product or service. Of course, it's always important to have a good product or service. That goes without saying, or it should go without saying. But the winner will be the one who has the best marketing.
Right.
You know,
yes.
Sometimes that's not really fair, but it's just a reality that a lot of people miss out on. They think that just having a great product or service is going to make them successful, and that's not the case.
No.
What else? I think surrounding yourself with like-minded people is very important. I've always been in part of mastermind groups where you can share ideas and inspiration and successes and failures with people who understand and who can support you. So it's very important to have that support network. So I definitely encourage everybody to have or to be part of a mastermind group. And, you know, if you're listening and you're not sure what that is, just you can Google it, you can look it up, and, you know, there's nice explanations online. But it's basically a meeting of like-minded entrepreneurs. Doesn't have to be in the same business.
Right.
But just people who understand what you do, because being an entrepreneur can be a very lonely thing, and it's tempting to lock yourself away in your own little office and plug away on your business. But it is important to connect with people who can support you.
Yes, it couldn't be more important. What's your vision going forward in the next few years?
Well, this year, I really want to grow the show. My aim is to make it a household name among entrepreneurs and small business owners. It's not going to be everybody's cup of tea because it's sort of quirky and, you know, the dry British humor and so on. But that's my goal for this year, is to dramatically grow the audience from where it's at.
Good, good. What are you proudest of?
I think the thing I'm proudest of is to be able to help at this point literally hundreds of thousands of small business owners. And I get emails almost every day now from people saying, you know, oh, I did this thing that you recommended and here's the results. And that's what makes me happy. That gives me a lot of satisfaction to see people taking action and getting results, because I do know that so many people struggle in business to get noticed, to put their product and service out there. And I've figured out some, you know, numerous ways to do that effectively. And, you know, great. That's what makes me very proud, is to see people who have achieved success as a result of applying some of these unconventional techniques.
Yes, beautiful. Andrew Luck, what a great pleasure being with you today. We appreciate you sharing the highlights of your life journey. And I know that our listeners have learned lessons that will help them on theirs. So how do listeners connect with you, with your show? What are the contact points?
Yeah, thanks very much. So the website is helpmybusiness.com. You can also type that into iTunes, or you can go type into your browser, get, that's GETHMB.com. HMB stands for Help My Business. So get HMB. That'll take you directly to the iTunes link. If you like to download your video podcasts and watch them on your device, it's also on Stitcher, which is the channel for Android users. And that's the hub of, that's where you can watch the show for free, new episode every week. So yeah, that's it.
Perfect. Listeners also know that you can go to discoveryourtalentpodcast.com podcast section, type in Andrew's name, Andrew Luck, and there will be a summary of this fine interview along with these connection points. So, and we're also all over social media. I want to thank listeners across the world for joining us today. If you go to our homepage, Discover Your Talent Podcast, you know we have a free infographic, What Do Highly Successful People Actually Do to Succeed, 12 Proven Career Building Strategies to Help You Do What You Love. This infographic and the little course that goes with it, all free, of course, is based on the thinking of the great minds in personal development and career planning for probably hundreds of years, actually. We've studied this problem for 38 years, and we've had great feedback from other listeners. So please take advantage of it, and maybe it'll be a catalyst that you find useful. We hope so. You can also subscribe for free on iTunes and Stitcher. And if you like the content, interviews like this, then we'd love to have you be a part of our tribe and tell us how we can serve you better. In closing, every one of us is born with unique talents and gifts. We don't learn them. We cannot ignore them. They're just a part of who we are, our DNA. Whenever we discover them and use them in our lives and careers, we do not merely survive. We thrive in every way possible. So until next time, all my best, and whatever you do, have fun out there.